This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. Thank you for joining us and count it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening. We trust the broadcast to be a blessing to you. And I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Fathers, we bow before you. We thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for just being good to us, Lord. Thank you for this season that we've been able to celebrate the birth of your darling son and our Savior, Lord. And I come to you, Lord, and I just want to be grateful and thankful, Lord, that because of your gift, Lord, we don't have to go to hell. I'm glad the sin debt's been paid. I'm glad we've been washed in the blood. We're clean, Lord. Before you, we come today, Lord. I ask you, Lord, just to bless these listeners, Lord. I pray that you do for them as they join in with us, and we're thankful for that. And Lord, I pray that the word of God would go out and find good ground and bring forth the right fruit. And Lord, we just want to thank you for the power in the word of God. The Bible said it's quick and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And God, I'm glad it'll cut coming and going. I'm glad, Father, it'll do the job. And so we ask you today, Father, Lord, to let it go out and let it accomplish that whereunto you send it. You said it would not return void. And God, I sure appreciate it. I do pray for the missionaries and the mission work. Pray for the children and children's homes and the feeding centers, Lord. And God, I pray that you'd just help us to believe you, to supply every need according to your riches in glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brethren, let me make just a few quick announcements concerning the work that we're engaged in. I ask you to continue to pray for our children's homes, the one here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, one in Romania, and all of the feeding centers that's there, and as well as the missionaries and the mission work, the churches, and everything that the Lord is doing. It's his work. It's his to care for, and we're watching him do it and just want to be a part of it. We're so thankful that the Lord allowed us, and I think of the scripture, counted us faithful, putting us in the ministry. And so anyway, if you would, please remember these and pray for them. I appreciate all the prayers and financial support that's come in for this work during this time of the year. And there's always a need. There always will be. The Bible said you have the poor with you always. And so there's always going to be somebody that the Lord allows us to help. And I was talking to one of the missionaries over there today, and he said we need to get about 400 pairs of shoes for these little kids in the villages. And I believe the Lord's going to take care of that. I asked him if he had means to get it over there, or the ability, if we sent the money, or if we need to send them from here. And we're hoping that he can get them over there. He's going to check. And I'd rather get it there because we can get it now. And if we go out here and buy it and purchase it and put it on a shipping container over there, we're looking at 10 weeks. I want to see these youngins have shoes on their feet now. And if you would, please make that a matter, object of prayer, and I believe the Lord will take care of it. And so anyway, just telling you a few things that's going on. If you would continue to pray for the flour and oil. We take up offerings each year to get flour and oil for each family over there. We try to get each family in the churches 110 pounds of flour and 5 liters of oil. And this year, I think it's going to be somewhere around $80,000 to do that. And the Lord's done it for many years. This really helps them, gets them through the hard part of the winter. They don't have jobs or anything like that that they can go to during this time of the year. Sometimes as it warms up, they're able to go to the fields and different places. They go different places and work. During the winter months, it's a little bit harder. And then a lot of them can't. A lot of them just elderly widow ladies and folks with disabilities and things that can't. We try to take care of them. And so if you'd like to help us in it, it'd be a great blessing. And like I said, it's about $40 will feed a family for a couple months, or at least that gets them some of the things that they need, some essentials. And they don't get a lot of their wants, but they get what they need. And so pray about this. Pray the Lord just supplies this need. And I believe he's going to. I'm not having a problem believing that he's going to take care of this. The thing is, if you went in on it, that's good. And if you don't, pray for us that God would supply it. But anyway, I'm going to ask you to write us this week, if you would. Write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. Or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. 2-1. And at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church, and we trust you enjoy the message.
Poor Job, every rose in his garden had faded, all the flowers in his life had withered away. But Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and the roses for Job, they all bloomed again.
The roses will bloom.
The roses will bloom again. Some morning they'll all bloom again.
No
matter how long your winter has been, your winter has been.
When you see
the rose of Sharon in that beautiful garden, it's gonna come springtime, springtime again. It was dark for old Jacob when they brought him that coat, and it seemed to him that Joseph was dead. But things got brighter when he saw the wagons coming, and the roses for Jacob, they all bloomed again.
The roses will bloom.
The roses will bloom again. Some morning they'll all bloom again.
No
matter how long your winter has been, your winter has been.
When you see
the rose of Sharon in that beautiful garden, it's gonna come springtime, springtime again. The disciples went with Jesus his last trip to the garden, and they were there when they led him away. It seemed every rose they had died on Calvary, but come Sunday morning they all bloomed again.
The roses will bloom.
The roses will bloom again. Some morning they'll all bloom again.
No
matter how long your winter has been, your winter has been.
When you
see the rose of Sharon in that beautiful garden, it's gonna come springtime, springtime again.
Good, wasn't it?
Amen.
Ain't you glad he's here?
Yes, amen.
I want to read in Luke 13, and I preach this many times when the new year comes in, about let it alone another year.
Amen.
Or let it alone this year also, till I dig around it, about it, and dug it. 13th chapter and verse 6. He spake a parable. He spake also this parable. Certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and saw fruit thereof, and found none. And he said unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this tree, found none, cut it down, and why cumber it the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. They sang a while ago, the roses will bloom, it's going to bloom again. And I was thinking about, and then I was going to read this scripture over in Matthew 24 and verse 32 said, now learn a parable of the fig tree, which when its branches are yet tender, put it forth leaves, you know that summer's nigh. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near at the door. I'm glad the fig tree's blooming again, the budding again. I don't think it'll ever bear any more fruit. I've read over in Matthew, it said Jesus tried to find fruit on that tree and there wasn't any. He is hungry. So he said, he cursed the tree. He said, you'll never bear any more fruit. Now you say, I don't believe that. Well, I don't care what you believe. I mean, I'm going to preach what I believe from here on, Lord willing, next year. I want to preach it like it is. I believe the fruit's done, been born. I believe Israel's done what she's supposed to do. I believe Jesus done what he's supposed to do. And I believe the only one bearing any fruit today is the Holy Ghost. And I believe the only fruit you can produce is the fruit of your lips, giving praise to God. And I don't know of any other fruit that you're supposed to do or anything else. You say, ain't we supposed to do nothing? Well, I hope to God we ain't, because we're not. I mean, what should you do anyway? Well, we ought to win souls. Well, what about that? What about that? I mean, that's not the fruit of you. I've heard them say a fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Son, let me tell you something. We're not producing anything today. Israel's not producing anything. God's doing all of it. The Holy Ghost is the one that's doing the producing, if there's any done. And I want you to know right now that this Gentile age is about finished up. And I'm glad that the things are blooming again. I'm glad that the leaves are putting out. I want you to know right now that Israel is going back home. And let me say this to you, and I know you think, well, this is a strange message for this day. Well, he is on and over in the Sunday school class, and I'm still going to continue because it's been on my mind. I mean, Jesus said, I've been here 3 years, and I've found nothing. All the life of Jesus, nothing happened. Nothing happened as far as the nation of Israel producing anything. You know how come? They've got religion before, after Malachi, from Malachi to Jesus. They've got so much religion, bless God, they couldn't produce nothing. They want nothing to be planted. They want nothing to be produced. There wasn't no water to water it. It's a dry and desolate country. Brother, I mean back in them days, because God had not visited them. And when God don't visit, son, I'm going to tell you right now, it's just going to be dry. When you got nothing but religion, it's going to be dry. Religion will dry you up. So I want you to know right now that the Gentile age is finished. I believe in 1948 it was. I believe this fig tree began to bud. The leaves put forth its leaves in 1948. I believe we're just about to the end of the journey. And I believe the Bible said Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And I believe their time is fulfilled. I believe the Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 11. I believe that as long as we preach the goodness of God, he'll not cut us off. But he said, if you quit preaching that and you quit being in the goodness of God, he said, I'll cut you off. That's what happened to Israel. To them that were cut off, severity and the goodness of God in severity, let unto you goodness as long as you continue in the goodness of God. Ain't a handful of people in this country believing in the goodness of God. We're believing the goodness of man, what man can produce. You're just about like old Cain. He produced a bunch of junk and brought it to God. God said, I don't want it. I mean, you don't produce a lamb. It takes a sheep to produce a lamb. And God's the one that made the sheep, made the lamb and all that. You don't worry about it. God's taking care of it. The Lamb of God was produced one day. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And I want you to know right now that God is turning back to his people. Amen. Now, I want to read you some things, and I know this ain't maybe a shout message, but maybe it'll get a little something stirred up in your heart. I got John to run this off about redeeming. I mean, you know what? Old Zechariah, John's daddy said, John the Baptist, his daddy said, when he got full of the Holy Ghost, he said, God hath visited and redeemed his people. They're already his, and God said he done redeemed them. Old Zechariah said that before Jesus ever was born. I mean, John was born about 6 months before Jesus was. So I mean, John the Baptist, when he was born, old Zechariah said, well, Zechariah said, he hath visited. When he got his tongue back to where it worked, he go on unbelief called him to go dumb. He got his tongue back in business. And God, he wrote down and said his name would be called John. So, boy, God gave him back his voice. And he got his tongue to working. And the first thing he said, he prophesied.
and said, God hath visited and redeemed his people. The Bible said Jesus come to save his people from their sin. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. You say, don't you think we're his? We ain't. We wasn't. We still ain't until we get born again. And we're a people like he said today. In Isaiah 127, and you, I'd like to ask you to do one thing, not you only, but the rest of you out there listening to the tapes and the radio. I'd like for you to read the book of Isaiah with Israel on your mind. It'd help you to read it and forget about whether you can get anything out of it and see what God is saying to them. It said in Isaiah 127, Zion shall be redeemed with judgment and her converts with righteousness. Isaiah 29, 22, therefore thus saith the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall now not be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. Isaiah 35:9, no lion shall be there, nor ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Isaiah 43:1 said, but now the Lord, but thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by my name. Thou art mine. Now, did you reckon that's so? And if it is, and they all went to hell like all these big preachers say, then God's got a lot of redeemed folks in hell. If Israel goes to hell when they die and God don't do what he said, he got a lot of redeemed people in hell. So they must have fell from grace. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression and as a cloud thy sins. Done blotted them out. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Don't return to get redeemed. Return because you are redeemed. Isaiah 44:23, O sing ye heaven, for the Lord hath done it, thank God. Shout ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains and forests and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. He done and done it, whether you like it or don't like it. Isaiah 48:20, go forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans. With a voice of singing, declare it, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. Isaiah 51:11, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Isaiah 52, for thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourself for naught, but ye shall be redeemed of that money. Isaiah 52, break forth into joy, sing unto the Lord, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. Isn't that wonderful? Isaiah 62:12, and they shall call them the holy people, the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called and sought out, a city not forsaken. Isaiah 63:4, for the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Isaiah 63:9, in all of their afflictions he was afflicted, and the angel of the presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Now, you say, well, why'd you read all that? I just want you to know they've been redeemed. I just want you to know that it's already happened. I want you to know in the mind of God it's already took place. And I mean, God said, I've been here 3 years, found no fruit, cut the tree down. I mean, and the dresser said, let it alone another year. I want to do one more thing to it and see if it'll bear any fruit. Well, I'm glad that Jesus didn't do it. I'm glad the dresser left it alone another year. Jesus, 30 years old when he started his ministry, is somewhere in that neighborhood, And 3 years he had looked at this tree of Israel, and he found no fruit. He didn't find anything. He didn't find what he was looking for. I'm glad that God cut them off. In Romans chapter 11, they're the fig tree. You see, we're not everything that the Bible. I think some dude told me the other day, well, this Bible's for us. Well, bless God, it might be, but it wasn't written to you, and it wasn't written about you. It's either written about Jesus or Israel.
Amen.
But he said, well, we ain't got no Bible. I said, well, ain't got much. When you say by grace, you don't need a whole lot. I said, won't you get over on this side of Calvary anyhow? I mean, all the folks that's on the other side of Calvary. I mean, why don't you, if you're going to live under the law, do what it says. If you have two coats, to impart to him that hath none, meet likewise.
Yeah.
And then loan me your money and don't you expect it back, because I ain't going to pay it. The Bible said, that's what it says.
Amen.
It said, when you loan, don't expect to receive back. And every time I loan any, I ain't under the law, but every time I loan it, I'm not looking for it to come back. So I just loan it thinking, well, I'll give it to them. Most of the time they do pay me, but thank God it's grace. Ain't that wonderful? I don't know why I said all that. But this tree, Jesus sought fruit on it. No fruit. Matthew said, it'll never bear fruit. Well, why? Because it's over. When John baptized Jesus, he said, we're going to fulfill all righteousness. What else can you do if it's all done? And then when Jesus died at Calvary, he said, it's finished. You said, what do we got to do? Go out and tell it. Glory to God. Sing it and shout about it. Tell about it. Say everybody you see, tell them. Don't try to get them saved. Just tell them how good God is, and God will do the same. We've got church full of people and preachers and everybody else. And the reason these folks want to have so many in church is because they like to have the prestige and the honor. And they like to have the money so they can have a good time. Buddy, that ain't what Jesus came for. He came to seek and to save the lost. And I've had preachers to tell me, and I know this going on the radio, I hope it does. I've had preachers to tell me, well, so-and-so, I mean, they can't help us any. We need some folks in our church that's got money. No, you need the God of the universe. He's got it all. And they said, well, we just don't visit that section because they're too poor. Well, that's the ones that have the gospel preached to them. I mean, it's pathetic, isn't it? I was talking to Ralph this morning. He said, they told Frankie down in some of them missionaries down in Turkey, said, boy, we ought to get some of them missionary books. Like, you know, read some of them books where they used to pass out on the Holy Ghost. Well, he said, I've seen them pass out in our church on the Holy Ghost. Oh, I mean, they said, no, I'm talking about the real. Now, can you imagine? Oh, God help me. Get Finney's book, Finney's foot, get Paul's book, and get God's book. And find out the time to the Gentiles that fulfilled, that quit running around trying to have revival in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Neither one of them had a revival. Both of them got drunk.
Amen.
Fella told me the other day, he said, oh, Nineveh, look what they done. I said, I know what they done. But they didn't do it because the preachers fasted and praying 30 days at a time. I said, bless God, the preacher was a running and a cussing. You say you can't prove that. I can prove he's running. And knowing us human beings, I'm not too sure he wasn't cussing. But I tell you right now, he wasn't trying to have revival. He's trying to keep from having one. He wasn't trying to get Nineveh saved. He wanted to get away from Nineveh. He's a Jew, and he didn't want to preach to that bunch of idiots over there, Gentiles, said they didn't know the right hand from the left, and he wanted to get away from them. And then after he got swallowed by the whale and got out of hell, he went to preaching and said, 40 days, and that's all you've got. And you know what? They repented at the preaching of Jonah. Then he got mad. Got him a little, God let a gourd vine grow up, made a shade for him. And he's sitting down that shade tree pouting. Mad as a whipped hen. Just mad. God sent a little worm, cut his tree down. His gourd vine. Then he got mad over there. God said, doest thou well to be angry? God. If you think it's up to the preachers to have revival and the churches to have, hey, Nineveh had, she got all, got converted because God done it.
Amen.
He had a backslidden, running preacher that didn't want to preach to Nineveh and didn't care nothing about Nineveh. But God done it anyhow.
Amen.
I get so sick of having all, man, I've had a Christmas and a half. I mean, I've preached all week. I mean, every day I've had to preach. Well, y'all was out having a good time. I've been here preaching. Hey! Listen to me. God done it. It's finished. It's over. And we're, and then this fellow said, boy, you ought to get finished. Book, bless God. They had a revival 139 years ago. I said, they ain't had one since 48. Finney ain't been here since 48. The fig trees are blooming. The fig trees are coming back to life again. Life's coming back to the fig tree. The one that got cut down 2,000 years. The life's coming back. You say, what does that mean? It means Israel is coming alive, honey. It means Israel's going to have life. It means Israel's going to be living again. And it means that we're going to be cut off. And I want to tell you something else. I got to hurry. I read in the paper yesterday, I don't know when the paper come out, but this fella said that the Arabs are saying, now this is the ones that Clinton and the rest of this came for. You hear me? They say that Israel is wrong in what they're doing. Well, he said, that fella wrote a big piece in the paper. Is it Cal Thomas? I believe you ought to get it and read it. That'd help you to read that. They say that Israel is as bad off as Hitler. That's what the Arabs say. And that's the kind we're backing. That they're going to kill people like Hitler did, that they ain't got as much heart in them as Hitler had. Well, son, let me tell you something. When America turns against Israel, you can go home and shut her up. Bless God. Forget about revival. Forget about church. Forget about God. Forget about a nation. Because when we turn against Israel, it's over with. It's finished. It's done. Because they're God's people. They're God's elect. They're God's chosen. They're God's called. They're God's beloved. And whatever you want to say, say it, because you're talking about God.
Amen.
And if you want to call them Hitler, and whoever you want to call him, and worse than Hitler, man, that's pitiful, isn't it?
Amen.
Old Kissinger wouldn't sign up with him. And two or three other fellas up there in Washington, but the rest of them signed a thing that we're going to back the Arabs and be against Israel. Now, that ought to cook your goose.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message this week. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.